All right, in James chapter number 2, want to read a few of the verses here from actually verse 17 to the end of the chapter, and we'll read this and look at this lesson, really where it ties in for the whole theme here to the end of the chapter. In James chapter 2, verse number 17, it says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." And we talked last week about faith without works. James is very direct, teaching and encouraging and challenging us to have a real faith, as we should. And then in verse 18, it's, "Even so faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And if you compare faith without works and faith with works, one of them does work and one of them is not working. And one is a working Christian, one's being a lazy Christian. And God saves us to be working, to be busy, right? In the book of Philippians, being confident this very thing that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform until the day of Jesus Christ. And God has a job for each and every one of us to do, and is to get busy as a Christian. And then in verse 19 it says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." You see the very direct teaching and the word of God here. It says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" And our text really is from verse 21 to verse 26 tonight. "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." I think that the Lord is trying to push a tone and the same message throughout these verses, that faith without works is dead. And God wants faith that is alive, that's working, that's busy, that God is doing something in our lives. You ever seen a Christian before and you thought, they're saved, but man, that's a dead Christian right there. There's just not much going there. And then you see a Christian that's alive, that's busy, that's working, that God is working in their life. If you look at those, don't you want a faith that is working, that's active, but most importantly, that God is doing something in your life as well? And God is challenging us about the subject of faith with works, and that's the subject tonight, faith with works. Why don't we pray as we continue in the lesson tonight? We thank you, Lord, for this time to open up your word. I pray that you would give wisdom and clarity, Lord, to the message tonight, that you would help us, Lord, to put works to our faith, not for salvation, but, Lord, so that we would be pleasing in your sight, that we'd be busy as you look down at us, that you'd see servants and you'd say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Bless the night and the lesson, we pray in your name. Amen. As we looked at the previous verses, we'll kind of give a runway into the lesson tonight. But we looked last time about faith without works. And faith without works is dead, the Bible says here in the book of James. And we looked at a few thoughts last a couple of weeks ago now, that faith is proven by works. In the book of Matthew, it says, "Wherefore by your fruits ye shall know them." Now, do you truly know if someone is saved or not? You don't know that. But the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. And so there is some judgment as to knowing if someone is saved or not. You ever got a chance to lead someone to the Lord, and they prayed and trusted Christ their Savior, and they never show up to church, will never read their Bible, never change their life, and everything stays the same or maybe gets worse, and you think, you ever thought, man, are they really saved? Nothing changed. There's no spiritual life or temperature there. Maybe they did get saved, and they just had no life whatsoever, but there's nothing there. But then you see that person that gets saved, and that God starts transforming and changing their life, and God starts working, and you see the fruits. And the Bible says, by your fruits you shall know them. And the Bible says we'd examine ourselves, that we would be in the faith. But faith is proven by works. You don't work for salvation. That's very clear. For by grace are you saved through what? faith in that, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible is very clear that salvation is by faith through grace alone, right? But after salvation, we don't work to get saved, but everything else after salvation is going to take work. It takes work to get to church. It takes work to go soul winning and tell someone about Christ. It takes work to get in your Bible time and your prayer. It takes work to be obedient as a Christian, not to get saved, but to be thankful and to praise God for your life now that you are saved, and so that God would be pleased with your life. So faith is proven by your works, but also faith produces works. That when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, doesn't it start producing changes? The Holy Spirit doesn't stay quiet. You ever notice that? You ever notice the Holy Spirit speaks to you and challenges you when you're not doing right? When you start getting that attitude or that temper, you start getting away from God, and you ever start trying to justify your choices to the Holy Spirit, right? God is talking to you and you're trying to argue that. The Holy Spirit is trying to produce works in your life that are profitable, that are pleasing to God, that are obedient to the Word of God. God is never going to lead you to go against the Word of God. He's leading you to be more like Jesus Christ, and it produces works. In John chapter 13, it says, "A new commandment I write unto you," Jesus said, "that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." And then it says this, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." Is the purpose of our faith to be seen by others? No, it's to glorify God. But our faith should be a light to others as well, right? And the Bible says that if you have a love one for another, then others will know that you are my disciples. So it should produce fruit, but also faith is profited. Faith is profited by our works. In James 2:18, if you look at that, it says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." And it profits that God is trying to point you in the right direction. There's a profit. Do you see the profit in going to church? Right? If you didn't, you wouldn't be here tonight. Do you see profit in reading your Bible? Do you see profit in leading a soul to Christ? See, there's profit in all the things that God shows you, but faith without works, you say, "I'm saved, I'm going to heaven," and you do nothing for God. Are you still saved? Well, yes, you are if you truly got saved. But there is no works. There is nothing pleasing in God's sight after that. If you say, "I'm going to live however I want," well, that's faith that's dead. Faith without works. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to what? To please him." It's impossible to please God without faith. And it says, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So last week we looked at faith without works. Today is faith with works. And the Bible gives us three illustrations in these last verses of the book of James chapter 2. Three examples that talk to us about faith with works. In verse number 21, we see the first example, and it says, "Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So you say, well, Abraham was saved because he had faith and works. No, but his faith was proven by his works. Turn back to Genesis chapter 22, please. We'll look at these two examples briefly. You know the passage, I'm sure, that God told Abraham to take his son and offer him as a sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And we'll read a few verses here that talks about Abraham's faith that the Lord identifies. You also see in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe it is, about the hall of faith, that God shows the faith of Abraham, of Enoch, of Isaac, and all these heroes of the faith. And one of those is Abraham. And so in Genesis 22, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. You see Abraham's incredible faith and obedience in this chapter, don't you? What incredible faith that God shows us here. If you look down in verse 5, it continues, "And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide ye here with the ass and I, and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." That shows again not only his obedience, but his faith. That if God told him to offer his son as a sacrifice, that God would bring his son back with him as well. Look at verse number 8. "And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." What a great picture that God shows us in the book of Genesis, that God would provide himself a lamb, that he would be the sacrifice for our sin. What incredible faith that Abraham had. Now look at verse number 12. "And the Lord speaks to Abraham, and he said," and he held his hand before he would take his son's life, "and he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God." Now, is this the first time that God spoke to Abraham? No. Is it the first time that Abraham obeyed God? No. But the Bible says here that God said, "Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And God shows an example of Abraham's faith. Now turn back to Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, please. And the Bible does not contradict itself. If there's a contradiction, it's in my mind, not in God's word. Right? Because God wrote the word of God, and we're going to look at this in Romans chapter 4, verse number 1. And God gives us an example here that Abraham was not saved by works, but by faith. But God's showing us an example of faith and works from Abraham's life. So in Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God." Remember that salvation is not by works, lest any man should boast. That's what this verse is telling us. In verse 3, it says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So God here again is proving that his faith was what saved him, not his works that saved him. Abraham's faith moved him to action. Abraham's works didn't save him, but his faith did. But his faith was proved by his works. And that's what the book of James is teaching us here, that our faith should move us to works. Right? Faith should move us to works. Have you ever had a child maybe, and you said, you put them on the edge of the counter? Every dad does this. But you say, "Jump to me." And they go, "I don't know." And you go, "I'll catch you, I promise I'll catch you." Except that one time that you don't. but you say, "I promise I'll catch you." And then you say, "Do you trust me?" And they go, "Yes." You say, "Well, jump to me." Well, their faith of saying, "Well, I believe you," is saying yes, but their actions are saying no. And how many times does God challenge us in our faith, and we say, "God, I believe you," and he says, "We'll obey," and then you go, "But I'm not willing to obey." And God wants faith and works. Turn back to James chapter 2, and we'll look at the next example that the Lord gives us about Rahab. So we see Abraham's faith that God commends, but then we see Rahab. Are you ever surprised by some of the people in the Word of God that God points out their faith and their examples? Or certain people you think, "God, I know you're saying they're a faithful person, but there's a lot of things in their life that I would not promote some of those things," and not that God promote the wrong, but that person's life. But Rahab, simply known as the harlot, and that's the title that God gives to her. But as we've learned in our Sunday school series and the adult Sunday school class, as it is with Ruth, you see the grace of God upon Rahab's life. And in verse number 25, we see this. It says, likewise also, we're in James 2, 25. It says, likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Now, if you turn back to Joshua chapter 2, we'll look at this briefly this evening. Joshua judges Ruth. In Joshua chapter 2, you know the Israelites, as Joshua is now leading the Israelites, and they're going to go face their first battle of Jericho, and God sends out two spies by Joshua's leading to go to Jericho to go spy out the land as they had done for Canaan, for the promised land. So they sent the spies there, and as soon as they came, Rahab the harlot hid them in the house and hid them from this person that was coming her way to try to find them, and they heard that some spies came in, and she said, oh, they went on another way. And so she hid them and protected them. And in verse number 8, we're going to look at this testimony of Rahab. And it says in Joshua 2, 8, and it says, before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord had dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom were ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And we'll stop there for this time. And so she promises to them that she would protect their lives. And she says, would you spare my life? And they said, if you send us out, and when we leave, if you put a scarlet thread out your window, when we come back and we come to destroy Jericho, whoever is in this house will be saved alive. Anyone outside the house, they couldn't account for them. And it's another, again, a picture of the salvation of Jesus Christ, as it was in the ark. Those that were in the ark were saved. Those that were outside were not. Same picture when the Israelites were in Egypt. And when the death angel came, if they had the blood upon the door, those with the blood on the door in the house were saved. And those that were outside or without the blood applied were lost. Same thing with Rahab the harlot. But a couple things to notice here in these verses that Rahab had heard about their God. When God is commending her faith, Rahab had heard about their God. See, what the Israelites didn't know when they were scared to go into the promised land, they knew that they were already defeated. But when they came back, they said, we cannot defeat them, they're too big. And the enemy knew they were defeated, but God's people didn't know that they were already defeated. Same thing with Jericho. When Rahab came, said, our hearts did melt. We knew how God was on your side. She had heard about God. But also, in verse number 11, she believed in God. It says in verse 11, in the second part of the verse, it says, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And she believed in God. But also, she believed that God could save her life as well. She believed that if she put that thread out, that God was going to preserve her life. And so God is looking and giving an example of the faith of Rahab. Turn back over to James chapter 2, please. James chapter 2. And it says that when she protected these spies and they came back in the land and they saw that scarlet thread and God protected her life, by the way, Rahab would be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ because of her faith. And what a great testimony that is, that God saw the faith of this woman. In Hebrews chapter 11, I won't have you turn there, but it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And then it says, it's by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. What a beautiful story of the picture of this woman's faith, but again also by the grace of God, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this one woman and her family, that God protected their lives because of her faith and her belief in God. See, her faith produced works. She was not saved by her works, but her faith did produce works, and God did spare her life. So we see the faith of Abraham that God gives an example of. We see the faith of Rahab that was given an example. And then we also see the faith of a Christian in verse number 26. And this is the last of the third examples that God gives here. And it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." This verse really concludes this thought about faith without works is dead. Now think about this. It's talking about the spirit. If you look at that again, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead." If you've ever seen a body that is lifeless, someone that is gone, and there is no life, there is no spirit, there's no breath in them, you see that body, you see that person that you remember, but there's no life there. It's lifeless. There's no breath, there's no fruit, there's no production, there's nothing there. They're lifeless. They're not there with us. And the Bible says that the body without the spirit is dead, and then it gives the example, so faith without works is dead also. Have you ever gone to plant a seed, and you put that in the ground, and you were expecting fruit, maybe a tree, maybe fruit, maybe vegetables, and you put that in the ground, and you think, surely this is going to produce. And you do everything right that you know how to do it, and you put the fertilizer in there, and you plant the seed just the right depth, or maybe a bulb or something, and it never comes up. We planted a few bulbs outside of our house, and nothing ever came up from them. We planted them, we watered them, it's getting sunlight, all of that, but to be honest, it must be dead. Nothing has come up from it. I've never looked at that dead bulb or that seed that's in the ground and thought, man, you are producing so much. Thank you for doing nothing for me. Thank you for providing no fruit, no vegetables, nothing beautiful to look at. It's simply dead. There's of no use and no good. We don't pamper that at all. We don't water anymore. It's useless, right? But as you think about that as a Christian, that sometimes we say, well, God, I'm saved, but I'm doing nothing. And you're like, and I'm going to stand firm in my position to do nothing for God. Now, I don't think that you would say that in your life, but I do believe that there's areas that every Christian that we tell God, that's off limits to you. We tell God, I'm not going there. I'm only going this far. My faith will only go this far, and I will not do anything else more than you ask for me. And God is telling us that faith without works is dead, being alone. See, faith is the root, right? When you get saved, that Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, and the Holy Spirit, when He lives inside of you, He must make a change in your life. How could God come to live inside of me and not make a change? How could it not change my thinking? How could it not change my life? How could it not change where I go and what I do? But for those of us that think, well, I'm saved, but I can do whatever I want, God says, well, that's faith without works. And that's dead, being alone, the Bible says. Faith is the root, but faith is shown by your fruit. And you know what? Aren't you thankful for those that have had the fruit of a Christian to be faithful to help and to provide a church for us? To have the Word of God that we hold today, for someone that gave the gospel that came by your house, someone that teaches a class for your children, those that give to help the church to move forward. See, sometimes we think, well, it's good for others to be working. It's good for others to be fruitful Christians, but I don't technically need to do that in my life. Would to God that we would look and say, God, what do you want me to do? Well, it's not hard to look in the Bible and think there's a whole lot of things that God has for you to do, right? The Bible says that you be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his what? Fruit in his season. And God wants us to not only be planted, saved, in the right place, but God wants us to be busy. God wants us to be working. God wants us to be fruitful. Someone gave you the gospel. Well, why not take that and reproduce and give the gospel to someone else? Hey, someone gave for us to have a church building. Why don't we give so that we can have a place for others to come to as well? See, we need to be fruitful Christians, not dead Christians. A Christian without works is unproductive, unfruitful, lifeless. And God wants us to have life. God wants us to have the Spirit inside of us, that we would be Spirit-led, that we would be working, doing what God would have us to do. So what does faith with works look like? So we looked at faith without works, but faith with works, it changes your life. Say, what part of your life does God want to change? All of it. We're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, what's the next word? All things are become new. When you get saved, everything changes. Not just your eternity in a place called heaven, but God wants to change everything in your life. And I think that's why some people, when you say, are you ready to get saved now? And they think, I'm not ready. Because I think even an unsaved person knows this. If I get saved, God's going to want to change my life. And I don't really want God changing my life quite yet. And they might say, well, I want to change some things first, or I want to give it some time. No, God wants to change your life. But know this, that when God wants to change your life, He wants to change it for the better. Right? God wants to make your life better. And faith with works, and you apply the Word of God to your life, to your family, and God makes your faith and He puts it on the right track, and then you move forward as a Christian. God wants to change your life. Don't you want to see answered prayers? Right? I don't know anyone that wants to pray and never hear God speak to them, never have an answered prayer. I don't know anyone that wants to open their Bible and think God never get anything from it, nothing at all. If that's the case in your life, there's something that's not working. There's something that's not right. You may go back to the point of examining yourself, whether you be in the faith. Am I saved? Is there any fruit as a Christian? You know, a fruit of a Christian, you may not like this one, is chastisement. God correcting us when we do wrong, that's a sign that I'm a child of God. And I don't really want that, but that is an example. What does faith with works look like? A changed life, answered prayers, seeing souls saved, getting to open up your Bible. The greatest joy as a Christian must be to take your Bible and to open it up and to share with someone how they can go to heaven and they trust in Christ as their Savior. What a blessing that is. To take what God has given to me for my faith and to share it with my children, to share it with those that come on our buses and our classes, people in our community, to see souls saved, to have God speak to your heart. Faith followed by works, not for salvation, but to have a fruitful, productive Christian life, is God's plan for every Christian. That God wants you and me to get busy, right? You look around in this world, there is much for us to do. I don't know anyone as a Christian that sits back and thinks, the job's done. I've got nothing to do. I mean, I don't see anyone that needs the gospel. Everyone seems like they're following God and they're in church and living right. I don't know any Christian in the right mind that would think that. But as a Christian, you look around and think, there is much to do. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's much to do to get busy putting works to your faith. Again, not for salvation, but for a fruitful, productive Christian life that is pleasing in the sight of God. Adding works to your faith, getting it to work. What is the Holy Spirit challenging you about? What is God challenging you about where you need to put some works to your faith, to put it into action, to get it into gear, so to say, in some area where maybe you told God, this area is off limits, I'm not going any further here, and you say, God, anything you want, and you're going to get busy for the cause of Christ. And that really should be the goal of every single Christian. Why don't we have a word of prayer as we finish the lesson tonight? God, I pray you bless the lesson, Lord, that we would have works and faith. Thankful, Lord, for your salvation that is only by grace through faith alone. But Lord, now that we're saved, Lord, you help us to get busy in the work of God. And would you please bless this night? Bless the offerings we take it now may be used for your honor and your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.